This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's program will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Do you have any thought about what happens on the other side of life? That's what a man asked me not long ago. We're going to talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, when we look round about us in this day and age, we can only thank you for the many blessings which you have so graciously bestowed upon us. How you have filled our lives with all kinds of blessings. And yet we realize, O God, that there are difficulties here too. And so your word has often spoken of this life as being the great tribulation. Father, we thank you that we can live here and by your grace enjoy the day. But we thank you even more that when these days are over, then by grace through faith in Christ, there is a home in heaven. Grant, O Lord, that we may deal with that today from your holy word. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. They came from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes, and they have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and served him every day, be in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ. A friend who owns a beautiful motorhome invited me to take a tour of the vehicle. It was beautiful, and I learned that the cost of this particular motorhome was over $200,000. I said to him, that's a lot of money, isn't it? And he said, yes, but it's our home away from home. It's not our permanent home, he said. It's temporary. We're always on the move, and the neighbors are always changing. But as I thought of it after the conversation, this man also owns a beautiful five-bedroom home, only a couple of years old, and it is worth in excess of $500,000. Is that his permanent home? He would tell you, no, it isn't. He right away goes on to say, I don't know why we built it, except that we wanted to build it. He said, one day it's going to be too large for us. In fact, it'll be too large the day we enter in to the home. But he said, when it's too large for us, then we'll sell it. And we'll purchase a condominium. We'll also get involved in a particular system whereby when health demands it, there will be assisted living services available for us. He kind of has it all planned from here until he breathes his last breath. Whether or not we can afford such accommodations as my friend has, we cannot live with the thought that this is my permanent home. We cannot entertain the idea that I have moved for the last time. The writer of the book of Hebrews has put it very well. He says, here we do not have a lasting city, but we are looking for the city that is yet to come. In other parts of the book of Hebrews, we are referred to as pilgrims and as sojourners on earth. You know, it's rather sad to visit with people who are unable to accept emotionally that life, whether lived out in humble accommodations or in affluency, is still temporary. And I was so grateful that that friend of mine, who is a strong, committed Christian, could say, regarding his motorhome and regarding his more permanent home, that none of these are permanent. We wait for the city that is yet to come. How thrilling that we are thankful for all of our material blessings, all those that we have acquired while we are here. But we know that whenever the earthly tent is finally taken from us, then we have a home with God. This is permanent. And therefore, when we look at things in the light of that permanent home, which is ours in heaven, then they take on their right values. Well, where is the permanent home? To my friend who asked the question, do you have any information that is on the other side? And I went on to say to him, I certainly do. It is not some of my thoughts, but it is what has come from the Word of God. Our permanent home is on the other side, and it didn't cost us anything, not 1 cent, not even $300,000 or $500,000. You couldn't buy it if you wanted to. It is a gift that has come to us from God, and it came when He sent into this world His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died at the cross of Calvary as a payment for our sins. When you and I repent of our sins and we place our faith in Jesus Christ, then we have been given the assurance that we belong to God forever through Christ Jesus our Lord. And there we are in a permanent dwelling. Now this is All Saints Sunday, and that's the time when we think of the loved ones who have died in the faith. And we go on to reminisce and think about the great times that we had with them while they were here and the blessed times that we will have with them one day if we all die in the faith. Our Lord Jesus Christ, one day, speaking to His disciples, gave them a great idea. Not only an idea, He gave them a great picture. And we've talked about it so often. But you remember, it's that passage where He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And one day I'm going to come and get you. And then we're going to live together forever and ever. All those who died trusting in Me. That is the home that we anticipate. And now today, it's interesting that the writer John, who recorded those words of Jesus about that He was going away and coming back again to receive us, now gives us a little glimpse into the heavenly home. Remember, friend, this is just a little glimpse. It comes in the form of a vision. The words speak for themselves. Hardly can you really add much to them. Let me read it to you as sort of a paraphrase. After this, I looked, and there before Me was a great multitude that no one could count. They come from every nation and tribe and people and language. They're standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And then one of the elders of the congregation asked me, are these in white robes, by the way, who are they? And where did they come from? And I, John, answered, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and they have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So to my friend who asked, do you know anything about what's on the other side? I could refer him to this portion of God's Word. Just briefly, let's try to answer some of the questions that could come from this portion of Scripture. These people, where do they come from? Well, they came from all over the world. Every tribe, every nationality, every race, all kinds of people. And there are going to be millions of them. Sometimes I'm afraid that we think that heaven is only going to be for a few. Well, I don't know what the percentage factor is, but I know this, that there are millions of people who have died in the course of history who trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. And all of those people are going to be there. How do they all get there? I don't know. I know how they get there, but why the numbers? How did the whole world hear about this? From our missionaries, of course. From the people who gave their lives in order that the gospel might go to their land. How did they get there? They are people who have died trusting in Christ. Did you notice that? They have washed their robes and they have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That was the blood that flowed from Calvary, and it cleanses you and me so that as we stand before God Almighty, we are perfect. Not that we are perfect in and of ourselves in the way we live here, but through Christ, God sees us as the sin that has been taken away, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Where they come from? Again, we say from all over the world. But they have come out of the great tribulation. And there are tribulations here. There are many wonderful times here, and we thank God for it. But there are also tribulations. A few weeks ago, I told you about another friend of mine who had had a terrible motorcycle accident and lay in a hospital. I visited with him yesterday. That man is now going to get out of the hospital. As we sat there and talked together, as yet he is not able to move a single muscle. His spinal cord has been bruised. They pray to God that it will heal and that he may get some of his functions back. Now, I tell you, that's a tribulation. In my hometown, we had the sad news a few weeks ago of hearing that two young people, a brother and a sister, on their way to high school in the morning, had a terrible accident, and both of them were killed. That is a tribulation, something that the father and the mother and those close to them will never, never, never get over. We'll come out of the great tribulation when we enter our heavenly home. What are the conditions there? What's the atmosphere going to be like? I think it can best be described in the words of the fruits of the Spirit that Paul lists in his book to the Galatians. There will be love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Can you imagine living in a place like that, where there is no hunger, no thirsting, no suffering, no sorrow? Do you know anything about what's on the other side? Yes, this is what I know. How do you know this? Because the Word of God has spoken to us, and it just gives us a peek. We can't add anything to this. Oh, we might have some little pet theories that we hope will actually happen. And whether they do or not, that doesn't make too much difference. But that which I give you today from the Word of God, that is what has been promised to us if we trust Jesus Christ. Now for a personal note in this whole great text that is ours today. How does this apply to you and to me? If our loved ones have died trusting in Jesus, there they are. Remember, we'll say, those difficult times. Remember those premature deaths that we talk about today? Deaths that came at when a person is just a little child? 3, 4, 5 years old, just when you love them so much and they can cuddle up to you, and suddenly they are taken from you. That's a tragedy, isn't it, as far as we're concerned on this side? Those premature deaths where somebody in their youth is taken? Those deaths when you're in the prime of life? When you're out there raising a family and a mother or a father suddenly has to leave? I wonder if most of us were not a little bit angry when some of these difficulties came our way. And Satan had a great time breathing into our ears, now where is your God of love? Yeah, those deaths that came as a result of accidents, wars. Think of it. 1,000 of our young people have died in Iraq. How tragic. And think of the other thousands, whether they be our boys or they be the enemy. Lies that God created. That's the tribulation. But if they died trusting in Jesus, then they are at home with him. How hard we work to prolong life. How hard we work to make it so pleasant. Even when we are old and we know realistically that the body has worn out, but we try to find other parts for it. And we try somehow to get a spreading disease stopped in order that we might have a few more years. It's tough, isn't it? But when the accident or the disease finally takes over, then all suffering is over, for we are at home with the Lord. Now, here is the interesting thing, friend. There is a place for you and me in that heavenly home. But may I say it, and I've said it again already on this sermon many a time, let me say it once more. That place is reserved for us if we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. It isn't universalism. Not everyone who has been born is going to be there. I don't know the details of how God is forever going to get this message of Christ to this world beyond what he has told us in his word. And that is that the believers are going to spread this message. And that's our task to do. But for those who died trusting in Christ, however they have come to him, they will live there forever. There is a place for you and me in that heavenly home. Dare we be dogmatic on what life will be like there? And I'd have to say no. All we have is a peek. But we can't help but wanting to try to figure out what it will be like. Well, let's enjoy our personal dwellings here, whether they be beautiful motorhomes or luxurious houses, or be they this simple little house on the street that nobody probably knows where it is, but we enjoy it. It's been home for us for a long time. Just help us to realize that no matter where that home is, it is a home away from home if you are a believer in Christ, for that permanent home is in heaven. Amen.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My great Physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me.
Father, in the midst of our affluency, help us to understand that our permanent home is a home in heaven, which comes through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May God's richest blessings be with you this week. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is supported by the gifts of our listeners. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are also available free of charge. A gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Send your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Today's service is also available to be heard or read on the Internet. Hundreds of Reverend Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.